All right, grab your Bibles, Genesis chapter 16 this evening. Just finished up, I didn't go back and look, I think 4 nights of Genesis 15. And what a great, I really was thinking, you started in Genesis 13 and then 14 and then really in 15, all the things that we can see in just that little bit of period of time of how that's affected. And we're really going to see some more tonight. There's a lot of things here tonight that we'll see this evening that full of just details that passes throughout history. But here in chapter 16, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy afflictions. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I think about the things that's on our mind as our country and our world is just spinning out of control with sin, Lord. And God, how we can follow those footprints all the way back through time. And Lord, I pray this evening, God, that you'd help each one of us to purpose in our hearts. God, there's some things that we need to learn as your children, Lord, and need to be reminded of. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this evening to glean that from the Word of God. Lord, give us a heart for souls, but God, help us to stand fast again with truth. And Lord, just move in our midst this evening, be with our young people tonight, Lord, as they're having their classes. I pray that you bless there, Lord. Lord, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you, Lord, for what you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let me say this. I was talking with Miss Phyllis a little bit back there, and I meant to say this earlier. Even in the church house, we need to know what we're going to do before the enemy ever gets here. And I say that because, you know, I've had this conversation after, and it was before what I found out today. I've told my daughter, she's 20 years old, I've told her if she goes into a ladies' restroom, and as long as this bill is still at where it is now, until it's rescinded, it's against the law for these people to go into a women's bathroom or a woman into a man's bathroom. And I've told my daughter, what you do is you instantly turn around and leave and go tell the management, and then you dial 911, and then you call me. Don't put yourself in that situation. And I've told my wife the same thing. And parents, don't. We live in a weird day. Be very, very diligent. Guard your children, grandchildren. Don't just let them run around. You better keep your eyes peeled and let them. I would never. Now, you do whatever, you know, it's between you and the Lord. I would never let a little girl go to the bathroom by herself. Never. Well, I'm a man. I can't take her. You can stand at the door. And this is my next step. What are we going to do when they do? Unless the Lord intervenes, I'm about 99.9% sure that this bill will fall. What do we do then? You follow your wife and your daughter to the bathroom. You watch what goes in that door. And when some dude comes walking up, you step in front of him and tell him you're not going in there. That's your choices. That's the world we're living in. Here at the church house, we need to, and we've talked about it. There's things, you know, we had an incident 2 Sundays ago with Brother David, chaos at some points. We need to be able that when we're told to be somewhere, to be there. You know, if you're told to come in here, come in here. If you're told to get out of here, get out of here. I used to tell my children when we were trying to train our children, the best we did, I guess, when I say stop, that means now. That don't mean take 2 more steps because you could be walking out in front of a car and be dead. And I'm just saying, that's the world we live in. If the preacher hollers, get down, you better get down. Because I see things y'all don't see. That's the world we live in. Now, we're not going to climb in a box and pull the lid over our heads. We're going to stand up and fight a good fight of faith and press towards the mark. But there's some things. Don't wait till you're put in those situations to have to respond to those situations. So, and again, they're pushing the issues. I think I was telling Brother Terry there's a transgender from another state that's in our state going to public places, going in the bathrooms and taking pictures, claiming where she's been or it's been. They're just pushing the issues. So I'm just saying that you need to be very vigilant about these things. So, and we're going to say more as time goes about what we're going to do here, because a tornado comes up, where do you go? You know, we don't have anything set in place. If a man walks in with a gun, what do? You better get out of the way because I'm going to shoot him. No, no, but we need to know these things, and we don't need to wait till they happen to think about what we should have done. And you can't outthink everything. Preacher, what do you do if and, you know, I believe we've had some homosexuals come in our church over the years that I've been here. At least I made me think they were anyway. I can picture a couple of ladies in my mind right now that I'm about 90% sure they didn't cause any trouble. What do you do if they do come in? As long as they don't cause any problems, they can hear the gospel as much as anybody else. But as soon as they begin having problems, I'd already talked to attorneys. We have every right to have them removed. Legally, we have that right. So we just need to know what we're going to do when we do it. So that's that. So everybody's consumed there. So let's look at something really neat this evening here in Genesis chapter 16. We looked at chapter 15. If you remember all the things that we looked at over those 4 nights, and there's so much in there. But one of the keys that we need to remember is what took place there in Genesis chapter 15. God has just put a covenant with Abram about his seed. And we remember, we saw there, I think it's verse 6, where Abram, the Bible tells us, believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And we had it again. What did he believe? That's the key to understanding. What did he believe? He simply believed what God said, that he had no way of being able to do that, but only God can do it. That's what I believe. That people say, how are you getting to heaven? God. If God don't get me to heaven, I won't get there. So Abram believed what God said, and God made a covenant with Abram about things that were going to take place, and we looked at some of those things, and he promised his seed, how his seed would be like the stars in the sky. And now we come here to chapter 16, and things have progressed. He's back in the land of Canaan here, and we see some things taking place. But in Abram's mind, here we are in 15, and I'll go ahead and throw it out here. Between chapter 15 and chapter 16 is a period of 10 years. 10 years from the time that God made this promise to chapter 16, and guess what? Abram has no children. But God promised that he was going to have a seed. But he don't have any seed. God promised that something would come about that only God could do, but here 10 years later, nothing's happening. So we see Abram here in a place that a lot of times we find ourselves, I believe. And that's one of the points tonight that we'll get to, and I hope it'll resonate in our hearts. A lot of times we pray and we seek the Lord and we get direction from God, but we want it now. And the thing that we must learn is Abram learned a very hard lesson here that not only affected him, but is affecting today, simply because he would not wait on God. And everyone in here, everyone, as Paul said, I'm the chiefest of the bunch. Every one of us tonight would have to say there's times in our lives where we did not wait on God. But God said, and it didn't happen. God didn't tell you when it was going to happen, did he? How do you know it's not going to happen? So that's one of the things that we'll get into as we go. But I just want to run down some verses as we've looked at some things tonight. Just point out some things before. There's basically, I want to look at two things tonight, and that's Abram and what we find here. Again, here's Abraham. We've seen, again, we run over to Hebrews. Again, he's a man of faith. He's in that great hall of faith and how God's using him. And but he's just like us. And we've seen so many places that it just, you know, he has the same tendencies that we have. But let's just run down through some verses simply again, just pointing out some things that just click in my mind as we read. Verse number one we have here, again, says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so we're introduced here to Hagar, and again, we see here she is an Egyptian. Where did she come from? Well, that's real smart. How did he get her? While was he there? He was in a famine. What did he not do? He didn't listen to God. What did he do? He listened to himself. Where did he end up? In her own place. Sin has little tags it likes to hang on. He got out of Egypt, as I've heard people say, but Egypt didn't get out of him. Thank God he repented. Thank God there is repentance. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a law. So we see here in verse number one, Hagar, the Egyptian. Egypt's always a picture of the world. Verse number two. It says, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Who's she blaming? She knows what Abram was promised. She knows that God says you're going to have a seed. I'm not pregnant, Abram. It's God's fault. Ever done that? Oh, no, preacher, I'd never blame God. You lie about other stuff too, probably. So we see her heart shows out a little bit here in verse number two. And then she says, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Three little words there. Sarai says, I pray thee. Who's she praying to? Not praying to God. God, open my womb. Open my womb. Open my womb, God. Open my womb. She's saying, Abram, take this thing into your own hands. You become God. Now, we'll never say that. But when we step away from the will of God, you have instantly made yourself God. Because you're saying you know more than what he knows. Oh, preacher, that's not true. Yeah, it is. In action, that's what we are doing. So we see here in verse number 2, she says, I pray thee, go into my maid, if it may be that I may obtain children by her. And then poor Abram. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. You ever been pressured into doing something? We all have. Paul said, I'd rather be right with God than man. Abram says, okay, I'll do that, Sarai. So we see here that she prays to Abram. And not only that, she's doing something that's not right. God intended a man and a woman, singular. Not a man and his wife and his girlfriend. Now, I know this ain't popular, but Sarai is telling Abraham to go against the institution of what God has placed, because God put Adam and Eve together as one, and that's the way it's still today. And Sarai is trying to get, and does get, Abram to go against what God has said. So Abram obeys Sarai. Verse number 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram, and dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And again, Abram didn't consult God. And here, 10 years waiting, he finally gives in. He says, I guess God ain't going to do what he said he's going to do. And he gives in. Look at verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Here in verse 4, Sarah gives Hagar to Abram, and Abram goes into her, and a child is conceived. What has just taken place is multifold. We'll see it again here in a minute, another verse. Instantly, the fellowship between Abram and God has been broken. Why? Because he's going against what God told him to do. And when we go against God's will and God's way, we lose. And I'm glad I don't lose my kinsmanship, but you do lose fellowship. And Abram has lost that fellowship. But notice what just took place. Sin always does this. Sin always drives a wedge. Sin always comes upon people and makes people act stupid. Do you see what? He was looking at me. You walk by and there are two people talking. And while you walk by, they just... I just pay attention. I just watch people. If I'm talking to somebody and somebody comes by, I'll probably move my eyes to see who that person is. Seen it happen so many times. It's funny. Me and Brother Dwayne talking. Brother Rick comes walking by. We both stop talking and watch Rick walk by. You know what Rick says? I bet they were talking about me. Yeah, we was. Says, man, did you see that nice red shirt he had on? Because of sin, Hagar imagined something that wasn't there yet. That's what sin does. Sin gets in your life and you know who you are. You know that dirt that's inside of you. And then when people see you, you think they know. Somebody's told them. And they don't know nothing. But see what sin does? It starts working in your mind. It starts working in your heart. And what does that do? It does exactly what it does here. It brought a great division. So we see here that sin always, always, listen, people say, well, it ain't going to hurt nobody but me. You better wake up. I wish sometimes it only hurt me. But the majority of times, I think, all the years that I worked through the fire department and all the wreck calls that I ever went to, I don't think I ever saw a drunk get killed. But I did see a lot of people that wasn't drunk get killed because of the drunk. Your sin, my sin, affects in multiple ways. It affects you. It affects your home. It affects your family. It affects your workplace. It affects our church. That's what sin does. And that's what we see here. Verse number 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Did y'all hear what she said? It's your fault. But was she not the one that said, hey, Abram, do this? But now, it's Abram's fault. I can't help. There's a lot of things in chapter 16 that draws me right back to Genesis 3. With Adam and Eve, there's a lot of things happening here in chapter 16. Is that not what Eve did? She blamed Adam. Or she blamed the devil. Adam blamed her. There's a lot of things as we go through here. It'll probably, if you think about it, there's a lot of things that ring back and forth between Genesis 3 and what we see here. So Sarai blames poor old Adam. But it was her. And we always want to blame. It can't, you know, about every time I talk with somebody, very rarely do I have somebody come up and say, preacher, I got a problem and it's me. 90% or more, probably 95 to 99%, I got a problem and it's somebody else's fault. Why? We don't want to admit that we did wrong. See what sin does? Not just for Abram, not just for Sarai, but just for us. It's always somebody else's fault. Verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord's judge between me and thee. Again, a lot of misconceptions. Hagar sees the mistress and thinks there's something wrong there. Sarai sees Hagar and thinks there's something wrong there. Well, there is something wrong. But they don't understand what the problem is. And what's happening in these women's lives is what sin does, and sin causes this thing called guilt. Guilt. Thank God it does. When a man gets to the place that sin no longer bothers him, that's a scary place. So we see that there's a problem. And then we looked at all these other verses. But two things I really want to get a hold of tonight as we look. And that's, I want to look at Abram just for a moment, run some through some things that we see here. And then I want to look at Hagar just for a moment and some lessons that we can learn there. But let's before we get into these other verses about Abram, let's back up and reaccount ourselves up to this place. We know that Abram is called of God to do what? Three things. To leave his homeland, to leave his family, and to go somewhere he don't know where he's going. Took him a while to finally get right with God and to get to that place. So Abram finally listens and goes. When he gets there, what does he find? He builds his altar, does all those things. All right, I'm in the will of God. And what does he run into? A famine. And many times, as we said, you're going to try to do right with God. You're going to turn your faith promise cards in that you're going to support missions for X amount of money for this coming year, and the car's going to break down. Then the old flesh, and everybody says it's the devil, but it's really just your flesh. Man, look what I give to the church. They don't need all that. Anybody else? So Abram says, we need to leave this place. There's nothing to eat here. And we know that he goes down to Egypt. We know his life in Egypt wasn't too great either. First thing he gets down there, he talks Sarai into doing what? Being a liar. So he's down in Egypt lying to keep himself out of the place of problems, and that never goes anywhere. Then we finally see that Abram, that great picture of repentance, and Abram repents and gets his things together and gets himself out of Egypt. And we looked at the fact that when you repent, you got to get back to where God is. God's not coming to you. You left God at X point, you're going to go back to X point to find God. And that's what Abram does. He goes back there to Bethel and gets back right with God. And then we know that there was trouble again with Abram and Lot. Problem with stuff. We know all how that worked out. And then we see that God gives Abram that great assurance. We know he sacrificed there. As soon as he sacrifices there, the old buzzards come up and he runs the buzzards off. And we look at the fact how when we give things to God, we need to expect the buzzards to come, but we need to hold our ground and fight off the buzzards. So we see that he runs the buzzards off. And so this is sort of the life that we've seen of Abram. It's up, it's down, it's right, it's wrong. I mean, it's just who Abram is. And here comes chapter 16, another mark in Abram's life. Abram, again, has been promised in chapter 15 of a seed that was going to be a great nation. 10 years have passed and nothing's happened. Abram has given in to Sarai and went into Hagar, and a child has been conceived out of the will of God. What does that result in? Look at verse number 12. Another mark of Abram's life. Verse 11, to lead us in here, and we see that Hagar has conceived. She runs away. We'll say more about some of these things in just a little bit. And now verse number 12 says that about this child. In verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And then verse 12, and he will be a godly man. God says he will be a wild man. Remember last week we looked at those eight places of the nation of Israel, and how God made that promise there in Genesis 15, and we ran that promise all through the Bible showing that the Word of God is true. When God said something, He did what He said. Right here is a great example again that God told Hagar that you're going to have a child, it's going to be a boy, you're going to name him Ishmael, and he's going to be a wild man. And guess what? He's still a wild man. So he's going to be a wild man, not a godly man. Why? Because he's out of the will of God. Not a reasonable man. Why? Because he's out of the will of God. Ishmael is going to be a wild man. And Ishmael is the father of this, of the Arab nations of our day, the Muslims of our day. And look at all we do to think that we're going to tame this religious crowd called Muslims. They're wild. They war. All from what happened here in Abram's life till the time that Ishmael was born and raised and was a wild man, and that division was put in place between the flesh and the spirit. These nations here have been warring and warring and warring, and still today are at war. Why? All you ever seen somebody that's mad at somebody and they've been mad so long they don't even know why they're mad? This ain't one of those cases. All of this runs right back to Genesis chapter 16. And God says that boy is going to be a wild man. And there sprung up that Arab nation, all because Abram would not wait on God. That's the whole purpose. Look further. It says he will be a wild man. These are the promises of God. Notice also about this child, Ishmael. He's going to be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. And every man's hand against him. And from then till now, again, it's fight, 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 war, war. Another great truth. God said it'd be so. And guess what? It's so. All again because Abram would not listen to God and wait on God. Again, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Sin. Again, that sin of Adam has been passed down through all men. Here's another part that because of the sin here of Abram, and because him not waiting on God, God says this here is going to stay with you forever. And it's here today. Not only did it affect Abram, not only did it affect Abram and his wife, not only did it affect the nation of Israel, it affected the seed that hadn't been born yet, and it still affects today. All because Abram was not willing to wait on God. I wonder what will be in my future because I didn't wait on God. That's the reason I tell young people, wait on God. Pray and ask God to give you that right man. Pray and ask God to give you the right woman. Oh, but I got to get married till I'm 20. Who said? And I know a lot of people today, some will be very honest to say they married the wrong person. All because they were out of the will of God and didn't wait on God. I know a lot of preachers didn't wait on God, made decisions. But I'm not disappointing them. We've all got that mirror to look into. I'm saying tonight we need to learn from the fact that Abram did not wait on God. God promised him. 10 years passed, preacher. God wasn't going to do it. So was God a liar? Oh, no, God wouldn't lie. Then why didn't he wait on him? Why don't we wait on him? All of this because he wouldn't wait on God. Again, we looked last week. We won't go back and look at it, but God's promises are what? Yea. God cannot lie. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. What God says he will do. Don't run on your feelings. I think a lot of crazy things sometimes. Just because I think it, I don't do it. I've seen some guys that think they could do things, and when they did it, it wasn't good. But they thought they could do it. Don't run on your flesh. Listen to God. One of the great, crucial, all through, I think six times, if I remember right, there's six places throughout the nation of Israel, key elements, times of the nation of Israel where God gave them a great commandment. Anybody know what it is? Be still. Remember Moses? Got up out of Egypt, ends up out there at the Red Sea. Red Sea before him, mountains beside him, army behind him. Well, maybe we could build some rafts and float across. That's what the flesh would say. Maybe we could get on our knees and ask forgiveness and, and go back to Egypt. That's a lot of times that's what the flesh will do. It'll run back. But what did God say? Be still. And we've got to learn in our everyday, and if you're not communicating with God, if you're not praying, if you're not reading, if you don't fellowship with God, you'll not hear Him. And you'll be just like Abram. And you won't wait on God. And you're going to end up with some Ishmael. All because of that. So that's a little bit about Abram. And then I really believe there's a great lesson to find in Hagar this evening. What is there to see about her? She's just an old slave in the world. What was I? I'm just an old slave in the world. I belong to this world, but the Lord saved me. There's a great truth to learn here about Hagar. Now, let's think about Hagar's life for just a moment. Hagar came out of Egypt. Hagar is a slave. Not too glamorous, is it? Hagar is daily having to be a servant. Hagar has now become involved in a scheme that she didn't have any say in. Sarai spots Hagar and says, "Abram, she's a nice looking girl. You'll probably have a good looking boy from her. You take her to wife." And Abram does. So now we have an Egyptian slave that's pregnant by Abram. As soon as the word's out that she's with child, division begins to grow inside the rankings of Abram's family. Sarai's mad. Hagar's mad because she's looking at me funny. Sarai goes to Abram and says, "It's your fault. You got to do something with her." What Abram said, "She belongs to you. You deal with her." The Bible tells us that she dealt roughly with her. Probably beat her. Probably made her do things that nobody wanted to do. Why? Because Hagar's a slave. And Hagar gets to the place where she feels like, I believe, her life's at stake. That there's no way that she can stay in this situation. It's just too hard. It's too bad. It's too ugly. What does Hagar do? She runs. This world is not very pretty. We're seeing things, as I told Miss Phyllis. I would never dreamed. I'm 46 years old. I don't think it would ever, it never even crossed my mind as a teenage boy that I'd have to worry about transgenders. I probably didn't even know what that word meant as a teenage boy. And now they're fighting for their rights. And now they're going to be represented just like a hero for our country. Can't imagine. What's going to be next? I don't know. I promise you it won't be good. But that's where Hagar is. And Hagar's got to the place where it's overwhelming, it's just ugly, it's nasty, I'm going to have a baby and nobody loves me. I'm going to get out of here. I've seen that happen in my own life. I've seen that happen in a lot of church people's lives. I've seen it happen in a lot of preachers' lives. The world gets ugly around them, and what they want to do is pack up and run. Try to get away from their problems. My mom always said, you run from one problem, there'll be another one waiting on you. That's life. But Hagar does what most of us do when things get hard, we just want to have a tendency to run. So she runs, she flees, trying to get away. And then notice back over there, let's see here. Verse 6, Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is thy hand, do as to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Verse 7, And the angel of the Lord did what? What did the Bible say? And the angel of the Lord did what? Found her. Glad he found me too. How did he know where to look? Do you ever ask yourself simple little questions like that as you read your Bible? God knows where we're at. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. God knew where Hagar was. God knows where you're at. That's like all those names that I can't pronounce. You get over there in the Leviticus and all through there, and Exodus, Leviticus, all through there, all you hear generation after generation, the names, nobody knows what they... Preacher, that's supposed to be said like this. How do you know what it's supposed to be said like? But one of the great things is that I've tried to put in my mind, is wrote somewhere in here. Watch the nation of Israel. They camped here a while, packed up, camped over there a while, packed up, camped over there. I'm glad God knew where they was at. And God put their name in the book. Why? Because he's keeping up with them. And God keeps up with us. So here's Hagar, fleeing, running. She's found. Where was she found at? Well, what's the Bible say? And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Pretty good place to be. When you read your Bible, when you see that well of water, it's always a picture of the Word of God. That living water that flows, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where she's found by. It goes on to say that the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And here's what I want you to get a hold of. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, pay very close attention. Remember what she's in. Remember what she's facing. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress. Oh, there's no way I'd ever go back there. Gets worse. Verse 9, And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and that real nasty word that nobody likes, submit thyself unto her hand. What's God telling her? God said, I know what you're facing. I know your life's a mess. I know the things that you're... Thank God for Hebrews where he tells us over there that we have a high priest that knows our infirmities. God knew what was this in this young girl's life. But God says, you get up, you go back, and you be submissive. Why? Because she was a servant to Abram. And we as God's children need to understand that we're a servant. We've been bought with a price. And when God tells us to do something, to go there or be there or do this, we need to return. We need to submit and do what God says. Why? Because that's what servants are supposed to do. But preacher, it's bad. I don't think it's any worse than what Hagar's getting ready to face. But preacher, I can't do it. She probably didn't think she could do it either. But But instead of packing up and running, God says, you get up, you go back, and you submit yourself. We've got to learn. Now, this is easy to say, but it's the truth. My daughter hates me sometimes, I think, but she gets to talking, you know, this, all the pressures of her day, it seems like, but she'll say something like, I wish. I said, honey, you can wish till you die. Don't mean it's going to change what the situation is. We waste so much time doing nothing when we could be busy about the work of the Lord. We've got to be able to, and listen to this, because I got it wrote in my Bible. We've got to be able to learn, it's a learning process, to bloom where God plants you. Yeah, preacher, I won't be over on that hill. Boy, ain't that a pretty hill over there? Look at all, that's beautiful. But God might have planted you down here by the stink hole. But if that's where God planted you, it'd be better to be by the stink hole than up there on the beautiful bank. Because if you're up on the beautiful bank, you're out of the will of God, and you'll not get the blessings of God. Great lesson to learn from here, but even from Hagar. And notice what God says about doing this. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return and submit. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. What did God tell her? He says, I'm going to bless you. Just because you get up and do what you've been told to do. Was it easy? Couldn't have been easy. Was it favorable? Can you imagine her walking back into the camp that day? Sometimes you got to eat some crow. I've had to go back and tell people I'm sorry. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Abram, a great lesson in not waiting on God. And see what it did? Hagar, a great lesson on obeying our master and doing what God tells us to do, no matter what it is. Two great lessons. Let's stand this evening.